Before we proceed with this teaching today, some people had requested us to read the sixth verse, where some of the concepts were not clear. So I'd like to just spend 5 minutes or so talking about, if we can just go back to the sixth verse. In the sixth verse, it says, there are 7 Maharshis, 7 great rishis, and there are 4 Manus. So there are 7 rishis. And who are the 7 rishis? You know, in our Puranas or in our scriptures, they talk about 7 different rishis, Vishwamitra, Kashyapa, and, you know, all these, Atri Rishi, and all these great rishis are mentioned. And it is said that all of us, all of India, the entire Hindu people, all the Hindus have originated from those rishis. They were the origin of the entire race, or the entire, all the people in India. So that is one. So they are considered as the origin of the beings. And then he says Chatavaro and the 4 Manus. So Manus are described as 4, and it is said that Manus were the ones who were the original lawgivers. That's why there is a book called Manu Smriti in the Hindu scriptures, which is the essence of how one should live one's life. The Manu Smriti gives the details of what one should do, should not do, do's and don'ts, how to live one's life. So the origin of the species comes from the 7 rishis, and the origin of the laws, how to live, comes from the Manus. So they are considered as the original, our ancestors. But the Lord says, Madbhava Manasa Jataha. They have been originated from me alone, because the Lord alone was Madbhava, from me, from my mind alone. It is said that the whole universe is in the mind of the Lord. And that's why even Brahmaji, it is said that in his mind he contemplates and this whole universe emerges. That is how the whole universe emerged. But Swami Chinmayananda, in his commentary, has given a little different meaning of the word 7 rishis and 4 manus. So the 7 rishis, who are the 7 rishis? Of course, they are the rishis who are the origin of the universe. But symbolically, they represent the 5 factors in creation. 5 factors. What are the 5 factors that are required for creation? As we know, there are the 5 elements, which are called the tanmatras, which are the, not only the elements, but they are the primordial elements. The original space, air, fire, water, earth, from which this visible space, air, fire, water, earth emerge. So they are the unmanifest aspects of these 5 elements. Then we have Mahat and Ahankar. So there are 7, 5 elements, the Mahat and the Ahankar. What is Mahat and what is Ahankar? What they say is that there is the consciousness. Here we symbolize as Om, which is Brahman, which is the all-pervading consciousness, which Lord alone was. Even in the Bible says God alone was first. There was nothing, not even air, space, fire, water, earth. Nothing was there, and he created the universe in 6 days, and the 7th day he rested. That's what the Bible says. So here we say that Brahman alone was. Then when Brahman identifies himself with the total intellect. So Mahat represents the total intellect. So the total intellect means the intellect of all beings put together, all animals, all birds, all plants, all fish, all humans. You say plants have intellect? Yeah, they have too, because they also know that they have to grow towards the light. If we have a plant in a dark room, and if there's light coming from one corner, the plant will grow only in that direction, because the plant knows that that is where I get my nutrition. So the total intellect of all the beings put together is called Mahat. That is the total intellect. And when the consciousness identifies itself with this total intellect, starts functioning through the total intellect, the ego emerges, the total ego. So ego is my ignorant nature, which then makes me function in the world as an ordinary, limited individual being. So ego is the ignorance. Ego is that entity that separates me from everybody else, that she is my friend and he is my enemy. And he belongs to my religion and she belongs to my state, and that's why I should be friendly with her because we both speak the same language. So ego is the ignorance that separates me from everybody else. So that ahankar emerges. So the consciousness, when identified with the total intellect, emerged the total ego. From that emerged the five tanmatras. So it is also described, the creative force is also called as prakriti, is also called as maya. These are all technical terms. What they mean is that there is matter and there is spirit. Prakriti and Purusha. So spirit is the consciousness and prakriti is the matter. So when the prakriti, the matter, is enlivened by the Purusha, that's why it says there is a spark of light which came and enlivened the prakriti, then from prakriti emerged this whole universe of all names, beings, forms, everything. So the consciousness identifies with the total intellect and thereby emerges the ego from which this whole world emerges. So ultimately it is that prakriti which, when the consciousness illumines it, creates the whole universe. Is that clear to everybody or am? So these are all different theories of creation. Actually, at the highest level, there is no creation. They say ultimately everything is the Lord alone, and we are just assuming various names and forms and distinguishing between different, that this is an animal, this is a plant, this is a bird, this is a fish. But ultimately, everything is that one Lord alone. So that is the highest level. But at our level, when we say, how did creation happen? So we say there was the Lord alone. Then there was the prakriti, matter, which was created by him. And then when he tickled the matter with his consciousness, this whole universe emerged. And then he entered the universe as an individuality. And how did that happen? That is explained in the next. So one is the totality, what they call as the total and the individual. So the totality and the individuality. At the total level, there was all the five elements and the total consciousness and the total ego and the total intellect. At the individual level, and how did we get lost? So at the individual level, they say there are four manus. Remember we said there were four manus, chatvaro manavastatha. Chatvaro manavastatha. So the four manus symbolize the antakarna or the inner creative force. Inner creative force. Like now when Brahmaji decided to create the world, right? So here a thought came in his mind, I should create the world. And the first four in the mythology are the four sons of Brahmaji. They are called the Sanat Kumaras, the four children. And then from there, then of course they multiplied and, you know, and all that. And that's how the whole universe came. So that is at the total level. But at my individual level, say I decide to create something. I say I want to make a pot. Now I have this pile of mud lying and so Hansa, she's very good at that, but she decides, okay, I'm going to take this mud and make it into a beautiful pot. So the thought emerges in our mind that I have to create this pot. So that continuous thought, when it is there, I must create that pot, I have a desire, and this pot will look so nice in my bedroom, all those ideas come. So that continuous flow of thoughts is required to create anything. You know, you want to create a pot, or maybe you want to rob a bank. You know, that is also a creative ability. It's not good, but it is still, I have to make a plan. How can I steal the, you know, bank? How can I check all the guards? How can I get my people? How can I, you know, go through all the security? So it could be a creative thought for something good, or it could be a creative thought for something bad. But that thought has to become very fixed in my inner antakarna. And what are the antakarna? There are four aspects of the inner personality. This is called man, buddhi, chit, and ahankar. So man is the mind, buddhi is the intellect, chit is the memory, and ahankar is the ego. Sorry, I misspelled. So the inner the subtle body or the inner instruments, which are called the mind, intellect, the ego, and the memories. So like if I want to create a pot, I say, last time, you know, this was the mistake I made. So if I correct that mistake, so my memory comes in there. And then I have a desire to create the pot. So that is my mind and my ego and then the intellect, you know, with the right knowledge. So all four are required. So the idea is that for any creative ability at the individual level, we use the mana, buddhi, chitta, ahankara. So that is the inner creativity, the inner antakarna, the inner instruments. So one is the vyashti, the individual, and samashti, the totality. So the macrocosm and the microcosm. So creation happens at both levels. At the macrocosmic level, Brahmaji, the creator, decided, and the Lord, the total consciousness. And also at the individual level, also the consciousness is there. Just as there is a total consciousness in the total universe, so at the individual level also there is an individual consciousness. Here we have symbolized as Om, because I have to have the consciousness. Unless I am conscious, I cannot create anything. If I am asleep, in deep sleep, or if I am dead, if my body is just lying here, that whether it could be Einstein, if his body is lying, and if you ask that body how much is 2 plus 2, he won't be able to answer, even though he was the greatest physicist of his time. So the consciousness is required as in the totality to create the whole universe, and in the individual, for individual to create his own world or whatever he wants to do. I want to build a house, or I want to, you know, start a family, or I want to start a business. So all creative abilities emerge from that one consciousness. So the seven rishis represent the macrocosm, and the four manus represent the microcosm. That was explained by Gurudev in his commentary, but I thought I'll just expand a little on that. These are just, you know, some concepts of creation.